Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teaching Ministries. Amen. Today is January 28th, Thursday, and I am so happy to be back in front of you again. God bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this message on today. I thank you for the life and the surrender that you put inside of me, Father. Lord God, I pray that this message will be a blessing to your people, Lord, and that it will go out, Lord God, and it will touch the hearts of your people, God. I pray that you will be able to use this message, Lord, to build up your people and to edify your church and the body of Christ. In Jesus' mighty name I pray and I give you glory. Amen. God bless you, saints. We're going to come to you today speaking on eternity. The Lord has dealt with me about the word eternity and eternal. And I just have a Bible study, amen. I hope it bless you. If it does, I'm going to give you the information at the end that you can write me and let me know or contact me and let me know. But we're going to start in John chapter 17. And the Bible says in John chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then spake these words, Jesus these words, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Amen. So Jesus here is asking God the Father to glorify him with the glory that he had before he came down to earth. He said, "Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee." Look at verse 2. He said, "Thou hast given him," Jesus was talking about himself, "thou hast given me power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me." Amen. And I want to ask you today, what is eternal life? Some say it is the ability to live forever. Where does it come from? God breathed into Adam and he became a living being or a living soul. This is the beginning of eternity for us. When God breathed into man and we became a living soul, the soul is eternal. We're going to talk about that today. God is eternal and he gave us an eternal soul with the ability to live forever in with eternal life or eternal damnation. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I'm not going to have a lot of time to get into the aspects of eternal damnation as much as I would like to. That's another topic on hell and separation from God. But I will touch briefly on it. And the Bible says that God is eternal. Amen. He has given us an eternal soul. Within our soul, we have the ability to live forever. Now, eternal life here, the Bible tells us in John chapter 17, is to know God. Eternal life is in the presence of God. When you are in the presence of God, you have eternal life. When you are not in the presence of God, you have eternal damnation. That's just it in a nutshell. Not being in the presence of God forever is eternal damnation. Now, I want you to know there is no time in eternity. You don't have a time limitation. The natural world, the Bible said God gave us in Genesis, he explains that he gave us seasons and times and seasons. So there, but I want you to know in eternity there is no such thing as time. Amen. Let's look at the word eternal in comparison to temporary or temporal. The Bible calls it temporal. We call it temporary things. Let's look at the word eternal. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 18, while we look not at the things that are seen. Okay, let's go over there because I may want to start up a little bit higher. In 2 Corinthians 4, we're going to start in 16 first. The Bible says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So the outward man is the temporal man. And that's why the Bible talks about this house that we have. This house is temporary. Another scripture says that we know if this house is dissolved or goes away. Talking about the flesh man, the flesh house, the flesh covering for our soul. Amen. The Bible says we faint not, though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is what we consider to be the soul or the spiritual man. Amen. Verse 17. Paul sets everything in perspective here. He says, for our light affliction, things that we're going through in this body, amen, in this life, in this realm, in this world, Paul says our light affliction is for but a moment. Hallelujah. It's only for a moment in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This gives me such encouragement to know that our light affliction is just for a moment. The Bible says the things that we go through in this life are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in our bodies. But the scripture here in verse 4 and 17, 2 Corinthians, says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So whatever you're going through in this life, hallelujah, know that it's working out for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. This is the main scripture in verse 18. The Bible says, while we look not at the things that are seen, praise God, but at the things that are not seen, praise the Lord. The things that are seen, the Bible says, Paul is speaking under the unction and under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He says the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are seen are passing away, are fading away. The things that are seen have a limitation of time. Amen. But the things that are not seen are eternal. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go back into this in my lesson. The Bible says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary. And this is something very important to remember, saints. But the things that are not seen are eternal. So let's look at this a little bit more. In other words, if you can see it, smell it, touch it, taste it, or feel it with your five senses, it is not eternal. It has a limitation of time. But if you, on the other hand, if you cannot see it, that does not mean it is not real. Amen? And we're going to talk about this because it's very important to understand the basis on why you believe what you believe and what rewards you have coming to you for the sacrifices that you're making to live for God in this world. Amen? The Bible says, right here in my notes, it says, if you cannot see it, that does not mean it's not real. That just means it is not of this world. Amen. So remember, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. That's over in John chapter 18, verse 36. We're going to turn over there real quick. And the Bible says in John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Another thing Jesus said in the same verse 36, he said, for if my kingdom were of this world, talking about this temporary world of the earth realm, then would my servants fight. Remember when Peter cut off the ear of Malchus, the soldier that came to take Jesus away, Peter took his sword. Jesus told him, put your sword up. He said, for my kingdom is not of this world. Then would my servants fight. Amen. But right here he says, my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. This thing really got to me because Jesus said, now is my kingdom not from hence or from here. Another translation says, now is my kingdom did not originate in the earth realm. Amen. Jesus did not come to establish himself as an earthly king. He came, the Bible says that he came to give his life for many. And we're going to talk about this. What was the purpose of Jesus' death? What was the purpose of his burial and resurrection? He could not have been resurrected if he had not been killed first. So we're going to talk about this a little bit. And it's in the realm of eternity versus the temporary world. Now, we're saying here that Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? So his servants are not fighting in the natural realm. This reminds me of Ephesians, why the Bible says the carnal mind cannot understand the things of the spirit. But in Ephesians 6, Jesus says we fight not against flesh and blood, because flesh and blood is temporary. It's of this world. He said, but we fight principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. He names about four different principalities and things that we fight against in the heavenly realms, things that you cannot see with the natural eye. But eternity is first described in Genesis. I'd like to go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And the Bible says, well, we're going to start in verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed. And out of the ground, verse 9, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life. This is what we're going to talk about tonight, because we can't talk about eternity without talking about the tree of life. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So here we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, that the Lord said, out of the ground, the Bible says, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. This is the natural trees. Amen. Pleasant to the sight, good to look at, good for food. You get your food off of it. But also in the midst of these temporary trees that he planted, earthly trees, the Bible says he planted the tree of life in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, these were spiritual trees, because you can't see the eternal life. You can't not see it with the natural eye. You can't taste it, touch it, feel it. Remember the five rules. You can't taste it, touch, feel, smell, or see. So, therefore, you can't. It's a spiritual. It's not of this world. It's from another world. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's our consciousness. Amen. Let's go down to Genesis 3 and 22. The Lord God said, behold, the man is become. And now this was, now verse 2, chapter 2 and 9 was before Adam's sin. Chapter 3, verse 22 is after Adam's sin. The Bible says, and the Lord God said, after Adam's sin, now, he said, behold, the man is become as one of us. Speaking of the knowledge that he had of good and evil, he said to know the difference between good and evil. So Adam and Eve lost their innocence here because they were accountable now. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So the Bible says we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So God said that Adam now knows the difference between good and evil. And another part of this, he said, at least he put forth his hand, take also of the tree of life, talking about eternal life, and eat and live forever. God did not want, it was not God's will for mankind to dwell forever in sin. God had a way. The Bible says Jesus Christ, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to his baptism, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundations of the world. So even before God created the world, he had a backup plan, because he knew that Adam was going to sin. He knew that we were going to be walking in disobedience. He knew that we were going to yield to our flesh man. Amen. We were going to put our flesh man over our spiritual man. Amen. So God had a backup plan. And God said here, least he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. In other words, in the state, in the sinful state that he living in, I do not want Adam to live in this sinful state forever. So I have a way out. Amen. I have a ransom. I have a price that needs to be paid for the sin, the price of sin. So here we see the words again, live forever in relation to tree of life or eternal life. Amen. Skip to the end of the book of Bible and the book of Revelations. I like to do Genesis and Revelation comparison studies. If you skip to the end of Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, we see another aspect of the tree of life. He did have ears. He did have an ear, the Bible says. This is God, Jesus talking to John. Amen. He did have an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh. So we see here another aspect to sin. We have to overcome sin. Amen. The Bible says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat from the tree of life. So we couldn't eat from it in the Garden of Eden, but in Revelations, Jesus is letting us know if we overcome sin, and I'm going to tell you how to overcome sin in a minute, but you have to understand, to him that overcometh will I give to eat from the tree of life that is in the midst of the paradise of God. So what do we have to overcome to eat from the tree of life? Now, we have to overcome sin, but the way that we overcome sin is through our faith, and I'm going to go into that. Could it be our faith is the answer to overcoming? The Bible says, in your patience possess your soul. Could it be our faith is the answer? So what is faith? That's another question I want to ask you today. What is faith and how does it play into eternal life? God always gives us the definitions for the most important things that we need to know in Scripture. Faith is defined, as most of us know, in Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance, that's something concrete, something solid, of things hoped for, But it's still in the spiritual realm. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You can't see things that you hope for. You have to bring the things that you hope for into reality through your faith. The Bible says in your faith, amen. Jesus said if you have a grain of mustard seed of faith, if you have a mustard seed grain, faith as the size of a grain of mustard seed, that you shall say unto this mountain in the natural, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall has no choice, the Bible says, but to remove, if you have a grain of faith. Amen. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof, the reality of things not seen. Hallelujah. What is evidence? It is the proof of what we see. With our natural eyes, no. Never. You never. The Bible says, why does a man hope for things that he sees? You don't have to hope for things that you see. But evidence, this is spiritual evidence of the spiritual world. It is proof of what we see with our spiritual eyes. Amen. And God wants us to develop our faith to the point where we know that the things that we don't see do not hinder what we can receive. Amen. From God. Faith gives us evidence in the unseen world, God's world. God is unseen. The Bible says God is invisible. So God lives in the unseen world, but the Bible also says that the things that are made, the natural things, were made by things that are not seen. We are to operate in this world as if we have no limitations in the natural. The spiritual world, now I want to say that again, the spiritual world has no limitations. It's not limited by the natural world. So we have everything we need, amen, in the spiritual realm. We just have to manifest it in the natural. The spiritual world, and it has to be according to the will of God, of course. That's another thing. When he said, ask what you will, of course he means because we've aligned ourselves to his word and his precepts, and line by line, precept by precept, do we go? Is the way that we should go. Amen. So the spiritual world has no limitations by the natural. We are to operate here in this earthly realm as if seeing God. Let's look at some, put some word on it, as my church likes to say. Let's look at some scriptural proofs for this, what I'm telling you today. In Hebrews 11:3, the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds, not just this world, but all worlds, spiritual and invisible, visible and invisible, spiritual and natural, all worlds were framed by the word of God. So that, remember in Genesis, the Bible says God spoke and it and became into existence. So the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. The things that are seen are temporary, were not made with things that do appear, which are temporary. So the temporary things were not made by temporary things. See how, now, you have to understand how things were made here. The Bible says that everything that we see was made by the word of God, which gives us eternal life. Eternal life exists in a different realm, and it's an unseen world. But it feeds our soul. Our soul is eternal, so we have to live somewhere in eternity. And we're going to either live in eternity with God and eternity separated from God. Sin causes a separation. Death is nothing but a separation of your soul from your body. And same thing with spiritual death. Your soul, your soul becomes separated from God through spiritual death. But if you are connected to God, you have eternal life. But you cannot be connected to God unless you come through Jesus. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except he come through me, Jesus said. In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? And it answers it in the same verse. You don't have to look too far. He said, because he that cometh to him must first believe that he is, or that he exists, or that he is real. Even though we cannot see, touch, taste, feel, or smell him with our natural man, we still must operate like we know that he is real and that his world is real. In fact, the things that we don't see are more real because they created the things that we see. So the unseen world is more real than the world that we see. Remember, the things that we see were made by the things that do not appear or invisible, the invisible realm, which is God is invisible. Visible things were made by the invisible God. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, just giving you a little bit more of an example of how people move by faith. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God of things that were coming, not yet, not seen as yet, He moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah here was warned of God of things not seen as yet. That means he had faith, amen, because he was not moving by what he saw. But he was moved with fear, the Bible says, which what could make Noah operate and function out of obedience? Fear here is reverential fear, which moves us to obedience. What could make Noah operate and function out of obedience, considering the things he had not even seen? Why? Because he believed God, which is the premise of his faith. When Noah was moving and operating in the seen world on principles he saw in the invisible world, look what happened. He saved his house, whereby the world was condemned at the same time because they did not have faith. He became the heir of righteousness, which only comes by faith. Let's look at what Jesus said, because my time is running out. I want to make sure I finish. Let's look at what Jesus said about eternal life in John 6:47-69. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me," Jesus, "if you believe on me, you have eternal life or everlasting life." He said, "I am the bread of life." Okay, I want to turn to that real quick in John 6:47. And the Bible says, Jesus says, "Verily, verily," let's go up a little bit further. Let's start in verse 46. "Not that any man hath seen the Father." Remember, we're talking about the invisible realm. "Not that any man hath seen the Father, except he which is of God, he hath seen the Father." Amen. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," Jesus was speaking of himself here, "hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." That's why I named this ministry, Manna Teaching Ministry, out of John chapter 6. Jesus said, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven," speaking of himself, "that a man may eat thereof and not die." Talking about spiritual death. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. Jesus said, "If you eat the bread that came down from heaven," which is himself, "that you will not die." He said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." Remember, we're talking about eternal life today. "And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Amen. Let's talk about this for a minute. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, "If you eat this bread that came down from heaven, which is my flesh, you shall live forever." Let's go on and finish reading this. He said he explains that the bread that he was speaking of, that he will give, is his flesh. He said, "My life." Jesus had came. He was born to die. He came to the earth to give his life, the flesh. The Bible said, remember John said he was slain from the foundation of the world. It was determined by God that he would be slain. Jesus himself said, "Prepare me a body," over in the Old Testament. Amen. He said, "I will give my life for the life of the world." Skip down to verse 53 and 54. "Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day," talking about the resurrection. Over in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, another scripture says, Jesus talking to John said, "Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So here we see there is going to be a second death. Amen. The first death is natural. It ends our temporary life, but here on earth. But the second death is spiritual and eternal. You have to die. The Bible says appointed unto man wants to die, but you don't have to die twice. Amen. You can have spiritual life, and therefore you have, the second death, the Bible says, has no power. In verse 56 and 57, he explains more about why it is necessary to eat his flesh and to drink his blood. We're still in John chapter 6. Jesus said, "If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you dwell in me and I in you." This is very important to understand today, saints. Why is this important? Because in verse 57, Jesus states, "As the living or eternal God, who is the source of eternal life, as the living God hath sent me, and I live by him. In this same manner, he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Verse 58, "This is that bread that came down from heaven, his flesh. He that eateth of this bread," death on the cross, or his flesh, the giving of his life for the life of the world, "if you partake of that bread, you will live forever as proof that we cannot begin to understand eternal life with a carnal mind. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It cannot begin to understand the things of God. Even the disciples said in verse 60 of chapter 6 here, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it or who can understand it? I want you to know all the paradoxes in the Bible and all the parables in the Bible were given to help us understand the spiritual realm of the unseen world. In John 6 and 65, Jesus himself said, no man can come unto him, unto himself, except it were given unto him of his Father. Verse 66, many after this saying, Jesus said, many of the disciples went back, because they couldn't grasp the spiritual concept of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. The Bible says they walked with him no more. But Jesus asked the 12, will you go away also? Look what Peter responds in verse 68. Peter said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Verse 69, Peter said, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. If you don't believe, saints, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you cannot have an eternal life. Peter knew to leave Christ was to leave eternal life. And the only option for those that leave Christ is eternal death or damnation, separation from God. He knew that would be a mistake or a foolish thing to do, to even consider leaving Christ. In closing, just a couple of things close to my heart today. I want to let you know, when choosing a spiritual leader, make sure that he is concerned first and foremost with your soul. Scripture says he has given account to God in Hebrews 13 and 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We don't hear a lot of people talking anymore about obeying our leaders. I guess it's because so many leaders have taken the privilege and this privilege and abused it. But if you have a leader that you know is concerned with your soul and where you're going to spend eternity, it's not hard to obey and submit to their leadership. Paul explains why in the same verse, for they watch for your souls as they must give account to God, amen, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, because if they serve with grief, that's not going to profit you. There are so many scriptures that deal with eternal life, too many for this 30-minute Bible study. I may come back and do a part two or put it in a book, depending on the leading of the Lord. But just a couple of things I have to mention in closing that are pretty self-explanatory, Titus 1 and 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And Hebrews 6 and 2 shows us that we should be teaching on eternal judgment as a basic premise to the foundational truths of our belief. Of the doctrine, the Bible says in Hebrews 6 and 2, of the doctrines of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Amen. So I'm closing that out, amen. I have a couple of minutes left. I just want to share this with you. If you are interested, amen, if you've been blessed by this message today, Manor Teacher Ministry, this is a new year, 2016. We're going to go to another level in God. We're going to begin to, amen, put out many books, amen, the small books that are going to be from our messages, amen. My average message for 30 minutes runs between 1,500 and 2,000 words. I need to get these out in many books, amen. If you would like to support this work, amen, I don't usually ask you to give. I believe that, you know, that I do know that the Bible says we are to eat, amen, from our service, amen, but I don't usually ask for it. I don't usually ask for an offering, but I do need to put this out there. If you would like to see these messages put into many books and you feel like that would be a blessing to the kingdom, I'm going to ask you to contact me. You can inbox me on Facebook. Well, I don't do a lot of friend requests for people I don't know. But I do. Let me give you my phone number. It's 770-728-2274. That's 770-728-2274. Or the email for the ministry is manna_teaching. That's manna_teaching@yahoo.com. manna_teaching@yahoo.com. If you would like to contact me and sow a seed into this ministry, it will go straight into the gospel. It will not go to pay any of my personal bills. It will not go to do anything for me personally, because I fear God too much to even get into that. It's going to go straight back. I use the ministry, the money that comes through the ministry for the ministry purposes only. God just blessed me right now that I'm able to do that. So if you anything that you sow, just know and trust that it is going to be sold back into the kingdom of God. Amen. Through even just broadcast, because we can get more time if we pay for it. We can do hour-long broadcasts, or we can also do the books. So God bless you. I love you. Contact me if you're interested in sowing into the ministry. This is Evangelist Brenda Amos signing off from Manateacher Ministry. I love you in the love of the Lord. Good night.